Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
It was just a lot of people was just upset, just keep being ourselves. Like, we're not losing to anybody. We just lose to ourselves. So everybody just mad about that for real. I, in the beginning of the season, just a lot of PIs, but going deep into the season, I started getting better. So now, for me, getting comfortable. I feel like I'm comfortable enough going to my next season. So now I'm ready to go. So, yeah.
Going to enemy territory and expect to win and you lose. So, it's not a good feeling, but, everybody in this locker room has so much love and respect for each other. So we're just trying to cope with it. But, just trying to soak it all in. It doesn't feel like it really hit all the way yet, but, take our time with it.
Motivation to just keep going to where we belong, and that's in the top. And such a strong process, and just
Nnamdi Madubuike. And as you could hear from the tone of his voice, very quiet as the Ravens were cleaning out the locker room yesterday. Nate Wiggins as well. And that's Madubuike talking about the motivation to get better and the motivation for next year. And we've talked about this thousand times. Seems like after every season, we know what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They win. They get to the playoffs. They win divisions. They get number one seeds. They go to Buffalo as the favorite against the team who was a higher seed and had been undefeated at home. But yet, they come up short. They don't get drilled. They don't embarrass themselves. Even in games 2 years ago when Lamar didn't even play, they could have beat Cincinnati in a playoff game. They don't get thumped, especially with Lamar, whether it's regular season or playoffs. But when the ultimate goal for 32 teams is to win the championship and they fall a step or two short, it's got to be frustrating to them. And you can run out of excuses. You can run out of reasons. At the end of 60 minutes, you just sit there and you reflect, and not even 24 hours later, you're stuffing your things in a trash bag and leaving, and some of these guys never to return to Baltimore. They'll go to other NFL destinations for sure, but the team that ended their season two nights ago at Highmark Stadium, that group of players will never assemble again because some of these guys are going to be gone. The good news for Ravens fans is, and you already know, and you're probably still running hot and bitter, and I'm still feeling the pain as a Ravens fan for the season ending, because full disclosure, we keep doing pregame shows, we keep getting paid. So we lost money in the whole scenario, not to mention the money I lost kind of betting on the game, but the core group's back.
Yeah.
There's a couple free agents, which we'll get to. But for the most part, the core group is back. Now, you could be losing the left side of your offensive line, which is a big deal. Yep. Let's not underestimate that. But for the most part, your dudes, your pro bowlers, your all pros are expected to be in Baltimore in 2025.
Yeah. And, Bob, it seems like when they do lose a game in the playoffs, we'd seen it before somewhere during the season. Last year, Kansas City, same type thing during the season, in one of the losses. But in this year, in the Pittsburgh game, the Cleveland game, Oakland game, we kind of saw this, that they can have, if they start turning it over and they didn't get penalties, which the only thing they had was, this was basically the Pittsburgh game a year ago, Bob, with all the drops, and that was the killer and the turnovers. Why does it happen? You know, and with Mark Andrews, I mean, if you were to say before the game, yeah, Mark Andrews is going to drop three balls and fumble it, you're like, no.
Absolutely not.
Right. So it's totally uncharacteristic of him. Why? I guess you got to give Buffalo some credit, you know?
What do you think? You mean the number one team in the NFL in turnover differential?
Yeah.
Forcing three turnovers to year zero? I think they deserve a little credit for sure.
But the thing about it is, I mean, listen to the players, extremely disappointed. You know, I mean, like on Get Up this morning, Bob, they're talking about why does the best team in the league, you know, lose this early in the playoffs with the best roster? Well, you turn the ball over, you're going to lose. I mean, that's bottom line is, you know, that's what's going to happen. If you turn it over, you're not going to win. And especially when, you know, the teams are that close, turnovers are going to it's going to change it. You know, in 94, when we lost to Dallas, Aikman threw a couple picks. We didn't throw any. We ended up winning. So turnovers, look at the Chargers. I mean, Herbert threw four interceptions in that game. They had no shot to win that game.
Yeah, and he threw three all year long.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just a tough, tough loss if you're the Ravens because – nobody, you know, like when you're making your plans, you hadn't made any plans. I mean, they're not expecting to be cleaning out their lockers and being Lamar's, like you said, Bobby's probably already in Florida. You know, I mean, he's expecting to be off day today and practice tomorrow.
So the Ravens season comes to a disappointing end, as we've discussed. We'll continue to discuss. Also heard about Nate Wiggins processing the loss. Rookie, feeling the pain for sure. But, you know, one of the positives of this 2024 season was the fact that he became a prominent part of a defense that played well in the second half of the season. And he's going to be a prominent part of it.
Mm-hmm.
For the foreseeable future here. So there's a positive. There are positives here. The negative is Buffalo's playing Kansas City,
right,
and the Ravens are going to be gone. So,
yeah.
And but the positive is guys like Nate Wiggins will be around once the season begins next year.
Yeah, and like Bob, we can break down each guy and kind of talk about what we thought of them throughout. Did they improve? How did they improve throughout the year? And then, what do they got to do this offseason to improve? Like we talked last year about Lamar. What did we say about Lamar? What does Lamar need to improve upon? He needed to improve upon that deep ball because his deep ball sucked. And this year, deep ball was fine. I mean, when you talk about Lamar, Bob, all right, what does he need to improve upon?
Next year?
Yeah.
Maybe not turning the ball over in playoff games. I mean, but his quarterback rating was over 100. It was 130 against Pittsburgh. He had a bad half against the Bills.
Yes.
And he took heat yesterday, not as much as I anticipated, by the way. If you missed the show, it's Vinny and Handy, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Handy, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Turn It Up Tuesday. First hour plus was roasted Mark Andrews, and deservedly so. It would have been nice if he would have spoken to the media at some point, but it is what it is. But Lamar played great in the second half.
Yep. 12 out of 15, I think it was.
And it was Josh Allen was more or less a game manager for the Bills. So he took his smoke from some, but another loss in the playoffs adds to the equation. And I've seen all of the social media stuff where through 7 years, Peyton Manning 3-5, Lamar 3-5, no Super Bowls, multiple MVPs, and then Manning finally broke through. So that means Lamar will, I mean, I'll sit here and I'll say it today. And Nolan, you might get mad at me for saying this. Lamar Jackson's winning a Super Bowl with the Ravens.
Yeah.
Question is, when? And they're going to be capable of doing it, because we'll get to the roster as we talked about. I mean, they're going to be really good next year, and you would expect DaCosta will do some shrewd things in the draft. Zay Flowers late first round last year, or 2 years ago. Nate Wiggins last year, 27. You'll trust that he and his brain trust will come up with an instant impact player, wherever it might be, safety,
yeah,
who knows, but the guy they draft at 27 will help them at some point next season. And Rosengarten started,
yeah,
right out of the gate, yeah, so trust in that process. But yeah, it stings because they're doing their close year presser tomorrow, yeah, John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta, and then We'll hear from him at the, what, the Senior Bowl, then the Combine for sure.
Combine for sure, yeah.
And then after that, I guess the Liars luncheon for the draft. Free agency, depending on what they do.
Yeah, and Bob, you know what's kind of interesting? You know, I mean, you don't want to be thinking about draft, just philosophy. You got 11 picks. You got a lot of guys back. So, you know, if there's a guy that you see, whether safety, corner, pass, whatever, you know, it's not a bad year to do what you normally don't do. Go get the guy that you need. You know, go to 15 or do whatever you got to do to go ahead and, you know, I got a lot of good guys. What do I really need? You know, instead of sitting at 27 and, you know, or trading back and getting more picks and, you know, you're not sure who you're going to go get. We identified, let's just say it's safety. We identify that guy, that's who we need. Let's go get him and plug and play.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. You want to vent about the Ravens season ending? Hey, this is an open window. Get in here at 410-583-1057. You've had a couple of days to process. Maybe you're not running as hot as you were yesterday. Maybe you are. Who knows? We'll find out when you call us. College Football National Championship decided last night. You heard it on The Fan. Talk about that when we come back. And Kevin Willard, head basketball coach, University of Maryland men. 10:30, Terps off to Champaign and Bloomington. So on the road for two games. So Maryland, after coming off that win against Nebraska, they're a tight win, but a win nonetheless. We'll talk to Coach about his team and how they're stacked up hitting the road in the Big Ten. And it's all hypotheticals now with no real answer to the question. Outcome changes how? What does he bring that might have been missing from the Ravens offense?
Well, the thing that would have been different, Bob, is he would have been incorporated into the game plan. So they would have had specific stuff for him, probably more quick screens and, you know, and more shots at him. You know, like the jet sweep and stuff, they would have probably had that incorporated in there for him instead of Sims. Knowing that he wasn't going to be in, you know, you kind of got to adjust your game plan that way. So I'm guessing that if he would have been healthy and playing, Todd would have incorporated him. He probably would have had 7-8 targets. That's probably what I'm guessing.
So he would have impacted things in a positive way. Unless he won Andrews and was fumbling and dropping passes. And we don't want to assume that either. But, hey, as a guy, whatever it is you do, and you can't help, and you're watching, and you're like, this sucks.
Yeah. Now, Bob, you know what's kind of surprising is you know, like, just for, like, when Tucker was having his struggles, he faced the media, you know?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and I give him a lot of credit for that. And like, he talked at open locker room and all that stuff. Andrews disappoints me a little bit.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
And I could see in the immediate after the game, it's sucking for you.
No doubt.
But yesterday, you're cleaning out your locker and everybody's staring at you and you're not talking. Come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. For the most part, this is a guy that's been had that ass kissed.
Yep.
And Nolan, what do you think? You're a diehard Ravens fan. You got an Andrews tattoo on your back, as a matter of fact. Him not speaking to any level, does it bring the disappointment up a couple of notches for you, given his performance on Sunday, which we all felt bad about, by the way?
Right. Well, in this line of work, yeah, you want him to talk. You got something to play, something to not rip into. We're not piling on here, but you just want to hear from him. I mean, you kind of know what he's going to say. That's the other side of the coin. You're saying, well, what does it really matter? And kind of predict what his answers would have been. What went wrong? I don't know. I blacked out. I dropped it. You know, that it is what it is. I cost the team the game.
Sure.
You know, you kind of predict what he's going to say. And I will say this about Mark Andrews. For his tenure here with the Ravens, I can think of very few players who have been pushed in front of the media more than him in good times and bad. You know, he's been accountable before. He's been up there after playoff losses in the past. Shortcomings, personal shortcomings, team shortcomings. He's never been a guy that's hid from the media for his career. He's always been out there. But I think that's what surprises me most about him not speaking, is that he's always done it in the past.
And Mike Preston wrote about it in the Baltimore Sun today. No one works harder during practice the regular season than Mark Andrews.
Yep.
But, you know, John Harbaugh had at halftime of games, hey, here's a stupid question, got answered in front of 20 million people. What do you think, Art? What's wrong with you? You got to face it. Lamar was there.
Yeah.
and running hot, but he was there. All right, let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Baltimore. It's Rashawn. Rashawn, what's happening?
Yeah. All right, yeah, hopefully that was.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, man, good
you
morning.
You called
morning.
Us. Sorry what are you that. Doing over there? Yeah. Let's go.
I'm sorry about that, man. Sorry about that. Hey, man, tough loss, man. Wild weekend in Buffalo, I must say, though.
Well, I saw your Facebook stuff. Do you guys ever go anywhere and not get into a confrontation and the police aren't involved?
Nah,
aren't you going to just watch a game? Dude.
It's not many times, man. When I travel with the crew, man, especially with that Dustin with me, man, I told you something about that guy,
your
man.
Boy Trippy you know? Looked like he was ready to go East Baltimore on people, too, by the way.
Yeah, he was, man. These Buffalo fans, I'm telling you, man, I've been to a lot of games, man. These are the worst fans I encountered so far, believe it or not, man. Like, I don't know what they was drinking this weekend, what was in the juice or the Kool-Aid. Man, they wanted all the smoke, man. Like, they was calling us all types of names, throwing snowballs at us and just, you know, it was bad, though. That's why, honestly, I'm rooting for the Chiefs now, man. You know, I just said, because that Buffalo fan base, man, they don't deserve a win, man.
Like, well, that's why man. Old geezers like me and Vinny watch the games in our couch.
Yes.
And don't have to worry about that nonsense anymore.
Yeah, but I never experienced that like the other game. Honestly, man, I don't know. Like, I went up there last year as a Cowboys fan. I ain't had no problem, man. But this year, I don't know what was wrong with these people, man, you know, but. Other than that, man, but like I said about Andrews, man, he needs to face the media, man. Like, what's wrong with him? You know, it's showing a lot about his character that he don't want to, you know, step up to the podium and, you know, accept blame. Maybe they need to check his FanDuel account, too, you know, and see what's going on, man. I don't know if he was paid off or what, man. Or, like, something just ain't right, man. Like, you know, he ain't have a drop or fumble, like, this 2019 or something they were saying. You know, like,
but I saw a stat, it was posted on social media, so take it with a grain of salt, but we talked about it yesterday. His playoff numbers, he becomes Roberto Duran.
Yeah.
Manos DiPiedros, if you know what I'm saying, a little hands of stone. So it's regular season Andrews, playoff Andrews.
Right. Like, and if he wanted to claim to be one of the top tight ends in the league, you got to step up in big moments and big games. You know, you don't see Travis Kelce not stepping up, you know, in big games. You know, that guy go out and balls out, man. Why his girlfriend is there, you know, in the stands watching, you know? Like, maybe you need to get some high-profile celebrity girlfriend or something to give him some encouragement in the playoffs, man. But it is what it is, though. I'm just happy and grateful that, you know, as long as we got Lamar, Eric DaCosta as our GM, man, the Ravens are going to be in contention every single year, you know, unlike some other franchises. Yeah. People have something to root for.
Yeah,
in January.
Cowboys, for instance.
No, I don't do that.
I thought that's where you were going. I thought you were ready to exercise your demons from that Dallas Star.
I got one more year. They got one more year out of me, though. Next year, my next last season is a Cowboys fan, though. So, you know, one of the leaves, whatever.
If they hire Schottenheimer or whatever, they're going to be awful next year.
It's Vinny at 81.057, the fans. So, Rashawn disappointed with the Ravens loss like everyone else. And Mark Andrews, you know, even Mike Harmon texted me yesterday. He goes, how's Andrews not talking to the media going over? I said, well, not all of that great.
Yeah.
But the first 2 hours, he was, like, getting destroyed here.
Yes.
But then Harbsy started getting some heat in the second half of the show. Lamar took his share of criticism, but Harbs and Andrews were villains 1 and 2 yesterday.
Yeah. And Bob, watching the game, I only had one villain throughout, and that was Andrews. I mean, because, you know, like on the fumble, be who you are. All of a sudden, you're catching the ball and you think you're Zay Flowers. No. You know, like, that's the thing that you like about Kelce. Kelce catches the ball, Bob. He knows who he is, and he just runs straight ahead. I get what I get. And if Andrews does that, who knows?
We're all rooting for Buffalo, though. Sunday, right? Actually, I think Buffalo's winning. I said the winner of the Bills-Ravens is winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you got to stand by that.
Oh, I'm standing by it not because I don't want to be an idiot for taking a dumb take and backing it down. I truly believe that. It's Vinny at 81.057. The fan will come back. Kevin Willard, head basketball coach, University of Maryland men, coming up that holding on to win against Nebraska, but it's a win back at 500 in the league. Then it's off to Illinois and off to Indiana. Two teams that are, you know, in the NCAA conversation. Matter of fact, Illinois is ranked number 17, with a couple of guys could be drafted in the first round.
Every game, every interview, every take, 105.7, the voice of the fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, turning up Tuesday, cranking it up to 12. You wouldn't allow, we got you covered. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your request, QuadSport text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. We'll get back to whining about the Ravens here in a couple minutes. You want to vent about Tony Tater signing with Toronto? We can get into all of that and more. But talk a little round ball. Terps coming off a week in which they won one, lost one, now hit the road for a couple in conference. And here to talk about that on the Window Nation guest hotline, head coach of your Maryland Terrapins, he's Kevin Willard. Coach, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Good morning, guys. Feeling great. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. Now, we'll talk about the Nebraska game. You're up nine, about five-plus left in the game, and then they come back, they tie it, and Gillespie with the big hoop, and you eventually win it. What got them back into the game when it looked like everything, Coach, was certainly in your favor in the closing minutes there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something interesting that when you go through conference play, and now in the new era of kind of having a new team every year, just getting guys to understand that certain teams aren't going to give you very many possessions, and making sure that we value possessions towards the end of the game. Teams like Northwestern, Nebraska, really kind of grind you out on the defensive end. We'll hold the ball for 25, 26 seconds. And really, we only had five possessions in the last 5 minutes of the game, and we didn't take good shots. So it was a matter of, we need to get better shots. Even though we're up nine, we need to value those possessions late in the game.
Now, Geronimo comes off the bench, and he flashed at Washington a couple of weeks ago. Minutes have been kind of limited. I know he's a coach. He's been banged up injury-wise, but that burst of energy that he brought to the equation, how do you talk to a guy like him? And he's a veteran player, played at Indiana, been at Maryland for a couple of years, explaining roles and how he's ready to rise to the occasion, if you will, when called upon.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the good thing about, having some older guys. And Jordan's one of those mature young men that kind of understands, he missed a big 3 weeks of the season, and other guys stepped up. And now that we get into conference play, everyone's got to be ready. We've been trying to balance out playing Julian Reeves and Derek Queen and trying to get someone in there with those guys at times that can shoot the basketball a little bit better. But Jordan's always been ready, and, just felt like we need some defensive intensity in the Nebraska game. And I can always, count on Jordan to come in and give us great energy.
Kevin Willard, head basketball coach, University of Maryland, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Terps at Champaign, taking on 17th-ranked Illinois in a couple of days. We'll talk about that here in a minute or two. You mentioned Julian Reese. We know the double-doubles are there, but the free throw percentage. And I said on the air last year, Coach, that, I'm left-handed. I'm from Baltimore. I'm 60. But, I could shoot a little bit. Back in the day, I was like, I could shoot free throws better than him. Now, here he is pushing 70%. Why the dramatic turnaround? Because he was huge with the foul shots in a lot of these games so far this season.
Yeah, I think, going into the season, I think Julian kind of understood that if he shot somewhere in the 70% range or even a little bit above, he would have averaged 4 more points per game last year. And 4 points doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're averaging 4 more than, and you're averaging 16 points a game and you could have been averaging 20, that changes your stats and your direction of your career dramatically. So he went into the offseason last year and really worked on his form and his release. And he kind of understood that it was a weakness of his, and if he made it a strength, it could really not only help us, but really help him in his future.
Now, Derek Queen only had 3, and Hummel was giving him the business for maybe not knowing it was a 1-on-1 late in the game, didn't box out. But what did the mayor, Fred Hoiberg, and his Huskers do to maybe take him out of the game a little bit?
Yeah, I think, now that – and Derek's getting used to this, the fact that now he's on everyone's scout report, and now that we've gotten into league play – and every night you're going against, he went up against 2 fifth-year seniors the other night. And just getting used to the physicality, I think that's the biggest thing that he's getting used to, is the fact that every night now he's going up against more than likely a fifth-year senior or a senior at his position. And they're looking at him as this, this hot freshman who's on the draft boards, and they're looking to go at him and prove to everybody that, look at me. So he's just got to understand and realize a little bit that he's got a target on his back, and he has to go into every game ready for that.
Kevin Willard, head basketball coach, University of Maryland. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. All right, Illinois Thursday, ranked number 17. Tough loss for them against Michigan State, but they are one of the top teams in the country, Riley and the kid from Lithuania, whose name I can't pronounce, are both considered to be high draft prospects. Five guys in double figures. I mean, they're a really good team, as you know. How do they present problems for you Thursday night at 9 Eastern in Champaign?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is if you look at their three-point disparity. I mean, they've taken 100 more threes in conference play than their opponents. They've made 30 more threes. They're a team that has scored 109 at Oregon. They put up 94 at Indiana. They're a team that when they're shooting the basketball at a high level, they're almost impossible to beat because they defend the three so well. So the biggest thing for us is we're going to have to try to defend that three-point line as best as possible because they really live and die by it.
Hey, Kevin, you guys are 0-4 on the road. Is there going to be anything that you're going to try to do different or do different, or you just got to – what can you do better on the road that you're not doing?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for us, and we did a little bit better job at against Northwestern. I think for us, you know, we've had leads late in the second half. We were up 5 against Purdue. At Purdue, you know, we had a lead at Washington. We had a lead at Oregon late in the game. Is we've had some bad offensive possessions in all those games, and just we need to have better offensive sequences. Because our defense has been good enough to win games, but we've done some things offensively that have really hurt us on the road that we can get away with at home because of our crowds and playing at home. But on the road, we just got to execute a little bit better offensively towards the end of the games.
Coach, last thing for you. How closely do you follow the KenPom and the net rankings and the bracketology? For instance, CBS has you an 8 seed. They talk about the quad one wins or lack thereof, whatever it is. How closely do you personally follow that stuff at this stage of the season?
What would you like to know about KenPom and the net ratings?
Yeah, maybe not.
I got them right here in front of me, so I can tell you where we are. We're 23rd in the KenPom, we're 24th in net. I mean, I think you do follow it. The great thing about this conference, as hard as it is to win on the road, it gives you great opportunities. And we still have, you know, we still have 6 more road games. We got 7 more home games. So we still have a lot of opportunities out there to kind of move the needle in the right direction and keep on going. And that's what this time of year is all about.
Kevin Willard, head coach, University of Maryland. Kevin, appreciate the time. Good luck at Champaign and in Bloomington, and we'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, guys.
Kevin Willard, everybody, head basketball coach, University of Maryland. So, yes, he does pay attention to the analytics and the rankings and all the things that go along with it.
You know what's funny about that, Bob, is like they have it in hockey, too. And, like, Charlie knows exactly where they're at, the teams that they're playing, where they're at, and then how much if they beat that team that they'll improve. It's great. I'll guarantee you that Willard's, the players, they all know.
He's got it in front of them, as he just said. And by the way, according to CBSSports.com, and we'll talk to Jerry Palm later in the show, college and basketball with him, or college football, rather, Maryland would be the 9 seed playing Georgia the 8, with the winner getting possibly Iowa State, the number 1 seed. I smell a wager. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ravens, they're done. Tomorrow, John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta meet with the media. I smell an evil Harbs, too. Tomorrow, Eric DaCosta, John Harbaugh meet with the media at 11 o'clock. It's the season-ending edition coming up around 11:30. We're going to get to the free agents that the Ravens have, and it's a long list, but how many impact free agents, I guess, is the question. Tony Taters goes to Toronto. We'll talk about that with Rich Dubroff later in the show. And Notre Dame, after driving for a score on their first drive, got thumped and then made a spirited comeback. And then Marcus Freeman decided to kick the field goal instead of just going for it. And the guy doinked it, Jeter. And we'll get into that with you and Jerry Palmer. Let's get out to the phones. Feeling the sting still, it sounds like. PT in Towson. PT, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, guys, I feel like we lost the playoff game when we lost to the Raiders in Cleveland, giving away the home field advantage. But Rashawn's got it right. You know, as long as we have Lamar and DaCosta, we're going to be one of the top, you know, 5 teams in football. And that's really all you can hope for, you know. But let me transition to the Orioles real quick. Bob, I know we kind of disagree a little bit on some of this stuff, but I was wondering if you could name, you know, 3 better options than we have at shortstop, so with Gunner. And then can you name 3 better options than we have, you know, with Westberg? And then Holiday. And then the platoon at first base. I mean, I'm not wrong.
You're preaching to the choir there. I mean, Gunner's going to win a gold glove before his career is over. So I'm cool with he needs to tighten up on some of the sidearm throws and the spinning around and hitting cheerleaders, in the hole at shortstop. Hey, you caught it, but, sometimes you just eat it, and he's got a cannon arm. Westberg's a stud. Oh, defensively, they're going to be great next year, I think. I don't know if they're going to win the World Series, though, PT. I just turned 60. The last time they won the World Series, I was 18. So I'm a little skeptical till it happens. You know what I mean? But they're going to be one of the best teams in the American League next year.
Right. But and the platoon in right field, I think, is getting overlooked. Heston Kerstad would have been ranked fifth in all of baseball with his OPS before that squirrel, Clay Holmes, hit him in the back of the head with a fastball. His OPS was 946. I mean, the kid is a hitter. Write it down, forget about it. And then you got a platoon with him and O'Neill. I mean, O'Neill's 29. He's not a worse fielder. I mean, I agree with you. I'm with you. The guy gets hurt, but he's certainly trying to.
He was on the IL three times last year, and his gold gloves were 5 years in the rearview mirror. I don't know about Kerstad defensively, though. And just, the eye test says to me that he's tracking grenades out in the outfield as opposed to fluid dragon fly balls like Cedric Mullins does. You know what I mean?
Right, that's what I'm saying. He can't field. I agree with that 100%. But the kid's a hard worker. You hope he's getting better. But also, look at Colton Cowser and Mullen. I mean, you don't have two better. I mean, forget about it. They're two better fielders in any outfield in baseball. The Orioles are completely loaded. Elflin, in his 10 Orioles starts, has a sub-2.7 ERA. I mean, and how many young pitchers would you trade for in front of Rodriguez? I agree with you, Bob. I know he's gotten hurt every year, but they're doing all they can to keep him healthy. I'm not betting on to win the stinking World Series because the Dodgers are, as you have mentioned, it's ridiculous what they're spending. But I'm certainly betting on them to win the American League, and I hope you see my point.
I don't think that's an impossible task, PT, and thank you. And I'm as big an Oriole fan as there is. They're going to be good next year. Why people are running hot? Because they're not spending $200 million on contracts, which could be fool's gold. And Vinny, you knew that from your days in Washington. Let's give the fancy name billions of dollars. And all of a sudden say, oops, that might have been a bad decision. I think Elias has a plan. Keep in mind, sooner or later, you're going to have to pay Gunnar Henderson. And that's not going to be that's a $400 million price tag at least. And if they stay healthy, Westberg, even though Rutschman's denying that he was hurt, I know he didn't look the same. If they stay healthy, they're going to be good. And what's the wild card? That's Jorge Mateo. Can he be that fifth outfielder guy, assuming they can come to a deal with arbitration? We'll talk about all of these subjects and more. I would like to see another, maybe a high leverage arm, as me and Ken Wyman were talking about, at the back end of the bullpen, and another starting pitcher, one or the other. And I think they could be on to something really super terrific. All right, let's get out to the phones. Tom in Columbia. Tom, thanks for holding. How you feeling today?
I don't feel too bad, fellas. It's great talking to you, too, man. I love the chemistry of the show. Hey, listen, I think the answers on how to fix this is really in front of our faces. I mean, it's all about reducing mistakes, turnovers, and more discipline. I mean, it would require Lamar having to adjust his game more like the Jaden Daniels type of game where he's doing a better job of reading the pass rush with quicker releases, only throwing higher probability passes, with higher probability of completions, no forced throws up in the air sideways, and basically reducing the mistakes and knowing when to run. I mean, his model, this Daniels kid is just like Lamar 20 years from now, what we could only hope he could be, but he's already there in his rookie year. But he is just the gold standard on what Lamar should be doing right now. I mean, this would only require coaching with a little more stricter emphasis on avoiding these mistakes as far as the turnovers and the repeated
mistakes. Can I take time out for a second?
Sure.
He threw 41 touchdowns, had four interceptions, correct, Bob?
That is correct. I'm staring at the stats right now.
119-something quarterback rating.
One of the five best of all time.
Yes. And threw for over 4,000 yards, rushed for over 800 yards. I think you got it backwards. Lamar's going to be three-time MVP. Jaden Daniels is probably going to be the offensive rookie of the year. All right, let's just kind of slow the roll a little bit. Jaden Daniels had one great game in the playoffs the other day. I'll give it to him. He did. He was awesome. But to say that Lamar needs to do what he does, no, vice versa.
He needs to model that game. He needs to calm down. He's making these mistakes over and over. Jaden's game, he's not making any of those mistakes. And then Lamar's going to continue to do it as long as Harbaugh gives him the reins to go ahead and run and set this offense up around him instead of reining him in. Look what Buffalo and Kansas City did to us the last 2 years in the playoffs. They sat back and let us beat the hell out of ourselves by making the mistakes while they just sat back and watched and just played the low percentage game. We're doing this over and over, and I don't care how many DaCostas or Lamar or coaches we got in there, something's got to change, and it's about discipline and avoiding these mistakes and turnovers.
Tom,
and nothing's ever
real reason. Quick, because we got another call to get in. Out of curiosity, Ravens fan, Commanders fan, where are we going here?
I'm a Ravens fan. Born and bred Baltimore.
Okay. Well, and thank you for the call, by the way. And, you know, I appreciate the opinion. Lamar's chasing Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels is chasing Lamar Jackson. It's not the other way around. Nolan, get in here. You're running hot? Like, Jaden Daniels is already this accomplished veteran, playoff-savvy dude, and Lamar's some slappy who loses his mojo?
No. I mean, they're both great quarterbacks. One's still alive right now. That's this year. It's not the entire scope of their careers. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be fantastic.
Yes, he is.
I still love Lamar Jackson. Wouldn't rather have anybody else a quarterback.
You know what? Mel Kiper and I were talking about this last night because he says, all right, your top five quarterbacks in the league. Mahomes is one. Lamar's two. Josh Allen's three. Burrow's four. And you could say that Daniels is five. You know, I mean, to me, that's this year. Because I told Mel, I said, Mel, last year at this time, you'd been saying Stroud was that. So, you know, I mean, he's had a hell of a year. Let's give him that.
No doubt about it. And he's re-energized. He's like Lamar was to the Ravens in 2018, energizing a fan base that had grown stagnant, hadn't made the playoffs in 3 years. I mean, Washington once was a model franchise, became laughing stocks, and he's kind of been this one-man gang that has rejuvenated a fan base that has been longing for that sort of football. But Lamar has to do what he does?
Yeah.
Come on, man. We're thinking crazy over here. It's Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today. Talk to him about the Ravens season ending. Maybe preview the championship games with him because, you know, football's not done just because the Ravens lost. Whip around. Left 15, lot 101 World of Sports last night and historically, so stay tuned. And then we're going to look at the Ravens free agent list, the unrestricted and the restricted types. And if Vinny is running the Baltimore football team, who's going, who's staying? Don't forget, there is a salary cap in the NFL.